the two of you go into the stadium, and when you get there, you realize the only way you could go in, you can get into the stadium, is to jam in like sardines, like you would go to a concert. Like for whatever reason, the Rams or the NFL hasn't properly executed a plan to keep you socially distanced. But you've already signed the waiver. Do you still walk into the stadium?
No, I don't.
You just turn around and get back in your car.
Yeah, I'm not going to walk into a crowded stadium. I can't feel good about that.
When you go to the bathroom, if they haven't socially distanced, like they have a lot of hurdles to clear in order to get there. And the problem is if you sign the waiver, you can't get your money back because you've already used the ticket. Right,
absolutely.
So it's not an easy answer.
Yeah, I mean, if there was limited capacity, let's say 25%, and you could be socially distanced and everybody wore masks, I would sign the waiver.
I think it's going to be a hard decision but I think it's going to happen because, as you know, when lawyers get involved, this stuff tends to, everybody wants to cover CYA, they want to cover themselves legally. So I think if you're a Rams season ticket holder like Mason, you can expect to get this request coming up soon.
Yeah. All right. John, my questions disappeared on me, so I'm going to do my best to remember exactly what they were.
I don't understand why that keeps happening to you.
Yeah, I don't know either. All right,
I have a bunch. Do you want me to just do a bunch?
No, I've got a good one. A-Rod appeared on First Take last week, and he said that one thing would help baseball is that if it was it would be more like the Kardashians, that it would be more celebrity driven. And this, he's making this case in light of the fact that he and J-Lo and some investors are trying to buy the New York Mets. Should baseball embrace the idea of becoming more like the Kardashians?
100% yes. As you know, I am a big fan of Kim Kardashian. Mace, let's show her the proper respect. First Lady Kim Kardashian, soon to be living in the White House. She understands marketing and how to market herself and how to grow social media accounts better than anyone I've ever seen. If there's a sport that needs that, it's baseball. If there's a team that needs that, because as you know, because you lived in New York, it's the Mets. They get dwarfed by the Yankees. They should absolutely embrace this and let A-Rod buy the Mets or at least be part of that investment group. What do you think?
Cannot agree more. Celebrity owners actually make a difference. They become talked about. J-Lo is coming off, performing at halftime of the Super Bowl and is absolutely in the prime of her career. A-Rod is blowing up as an analyst right now. I think it would be a match made perfectly in the city of New York, New York. And I think it is good for baseball for there to be more focus on stars. I wish more baseball players would embrace that the way, for example, Trevor Bauer of the Indians has. That they're not afraid to go in and mix it up on social media and build a brand for themselves. Baseball would be better off if more guys did that.
Matter of fact, Trevor Bauer's engaged in a really fun Twitter war with Curt Schilling.
Yes.
If you haven't read it, go read it. It's like pro wrestling. It's great. All right, Mace. A parked SUV was swallowed by a sinkhole that appeared overnight in the East Village, according to police.
Village of Manhattan?
Yes. The giant hole, large enough to swallow a silver Toyota SUV developed on East 2nd Street near Avenue A.
Wow.
Sometime overnight this weekend, between Saturday and Sunday. The videos of this are unbelievable. The car is simply parked, and all of a sudden, a hole opens up in the ground and swallows it. Now, no occupants were in the vehicle. Water has been shut down. Emergency crews have made all the necessary repairs. I'm sure this guy had insurance. Neighbors complained that the sinkhole was caused by an ongoing sewage problem. Everyone in the building was told not to flush their toilets because they were afraid it was going to back up into something. Here's the question. You lived in New York. Would you ever do it again? The news came out today that Keyshawn, who does our morning show, ESPN says Keyshawn is going to be the host of a morning show, and I assume that means Key's going to have to go back to New York to do a East Coast-based morning show. Would you ever go back and live in New York?
You know, John, I absolutely would. It is the one job, the one place where I would consider moving aside from Los Angeles. Although at the time it seemed like it was an awful job. I had an awful job.
Right.
But
you didn't mind living in New York.
Didn't mind living in Manhattan. I had fun. There was tons of stuff to do. So I would go back for
the
right
job. What was
the
best part about living there?
Being so close to Broadway.
Well, what I always say is...
I saw every single Broadway show. Every single one.
Well, you know, that's right in my wheelhouse. The thing that I always say about New York is when you're walking down the street, like when you're walking down Fifth Avenue, you're walking down Park Avenue, you're hopping on a subway, the energy of the city is palpable.
Yep.
You feel like the country is being run from there. So to me, I would, two of the regrets I have in life, because I don't think I'll ever do it, is I would have loved to have lived in San Francisco within the city limits.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would have been really fun to live
now,
downtown.
I did do that for 6 months. I lived on the Presidio when I was doing a gig up there with Sarah.
So was that fun?
Yeah, I loved it. God, yeah. San Francisco.
So you've done the two things that I kind of wish I would have had a crack at, to live in Manhattan and to live in San Francisco. But the sinkhole thing freaked me out.
I just cannot even imagine that happening in lower Manhattan.
Or
that's
in California.
Crazy.
Can you imagine that happening in California?
No.
Your car's just parked outside on the street and you get out there and it's been swallowed up by a sinkhole.
It's crazy.
I would be so bitter. Oh, my God. I would be like, are you kidding? My car got swallowed by a sinkhole? Give me a break. Adam?
Take it, John.
Okay, the website FanSided says Cam Newton will be a fantasy football stud in 2020. Now, your nickname in fantasy football is Last Place Mace. You might be the worst fantasy football player I've ever met.
I've gone through a fallow period.
You're going to draft at the top of the draft again, so I'm sure you'll take a running back early, but... let's say it's time for you to draft a quarterback. Cam Newton is on the board. If you go back to 2019, the last time he played before he got hurt, over his first 11 games in 2018, he completed 70% of his passes with 22 touchdowns, only 7 interceptions, and 104 passer rating. He also added 417-yard rushing. Are you in or out on Cam Newton being a fantasy football stud in 2020?
100% out. I don't believe he's going to be the starter. I think Jared Stidham is going to be the starter. And I think Bill Belichick knows that and made up his mind about that a long time ago. So, no, I'm not in on Cam Newton.
Disagree. I think that the Patriots and Bill Belichick are smart. Josh McDaniels is the offensive coordinator. They don't have a lot of great running backs. They don't have Gronk, so they're not going to have a tight end to throw to. I think Cam Newton is going to score a bunch of touchdowns this year, both running and passing. I think Newton's a good pick, particularly if you can get him in like the 5th, 6th, 7th round.
Jared Stidham, the starter. I wouldn't draft him because I think they're going to run the football a lot, but I think they'll go 10-6 with Jared Stidham as the starter.
Yeah, I don't think Jared Stidham ever plays. All right, you got one? You want me to go?
Yeah, I got one. Okay. So Mike Scott of the Philadelphia 76ers has called the list of names that players can wear on their jersey as a bad list. So during the NBA restart and during the NBA playoffs, guys are going to be able to wear something other than their name on the back of their jerseys. Mike Scott isn't satisfied with the list that they have been given. So here are the official things that can be put on the back of jerseys for players at the NBA bubble. Black Lives Matter, say their names, vote, I can't breathe, justice, peace, power to the people, justice now, say her name, si se puede, which means yes we can, see us, hear us, respect us, love us, liberation, listen, listen to us, stand up, ally, anti-racist, I am a man, speak up, how many more? Those are some of the names. But he says the names are not enough, the names that they've been given, and they want to have more specific names. Should the NBA give players like Mike Scott and others more latitude about what they put on the back of their jerseys?
Sure, why not? Why not allow anybody to submit whatever they want and then do it on a case-by-case basis? The NBA is not the NFL. Each team only has 15 players. So, I mean, you literally could do this with one person at the NBA office. You propose, like, whatever you want to put on the back of your jersey if you're Mike Scott, and you give an explanation as to why you want to do that. Now, I know one thing they've decided to do is not allow them to use the names of people that are deceased. Like, you can't put George Floyd or Trayvon Martin.
Breonna Taylor. Right. You can't put their names.
Because they don't want to do that because they don't want to cause pain to the surviving family members. So,
yep, that makes sense.
That would be something that you would have to check against. But, sure, why? If Mike Scott wants to do something that's not on the list, why does there have to be a list? Why not judge everything on a case-by-case basis? What do you think?
Yeah, that's what I say. Why not? Why does there have to be a menu of things that you can have on the back of your jersey? Just submit what you would like, and the league can decide, yes, that's okay, no, that's not okay, back to the drawing board. I don't know why they're offering just this specific list of 20 things that you can have put on the back of your jersey.
Yeah, that almost seems like, you know, hey, here's what you can put on your album cover, and here's a list. Well, why can't I put anything on my album cover? I'll tell you, you know, as long as it's not obscene or, you know, offensive.
Yeah.
And you could give the NBA the right to sign off on it. I'm kind of with Mike Scott here.
Yep, me too. I'm 100% with Mike
and
Scott.
And speaking of the NBA, Dave McMenamin up next.
Yes. McTen coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Dave McMenamin's going to join us here in a minute. John, have you ever seen the show What We Do in the Shadows?
No.
Oh. This, for me right now, is the funniest show on TV.
It's a comedy?
It's a comedy. It's on FX, and it's about a group of vampires that live together.
Oh, please.
But it's a reality show. So it's behind-the-scenes look at these vampires. It's by the guy that did Jojo Rabbit, Taika Waititi. It is so friggin' funny.
Wait a minute. That is too big of a reach for me. Dave McMenamin, have you seen this show about vampires in a re- What's it called, Mason?
What We Do in the Shadows.
Dave, have you seen it?
I actually have, guys. And I, much like you, John, have the same kind of knee-jerk, like, what is this? One of my buddies watched it. He's into, like, the comedy scene. I'm not saying I'm going to go seek it out every time, but when I've hung out with him and he's watching it, like, I'll watch it too.
Okay. So
there you go.
All right. That was a tepid endorsement, but endorsement nonetheless.
Kind of an endorsement, yeah. I'll take that.
Dave McMenamin covers the Lakers and the rest of the NBA for ESPN. Dave, what's the significance of Dwight Howard announcing that he will go into the bubble? Mason said earlier in the show that had Dwight not agreed to go, he would no longer have picked the Lakers to win the title. It was that important to him. I thought it was significant, maybe not that significant. What do you think? What's the importance of Dwight agreeing to show up?
I'm actually more on the Mace side of this thing than your side, John, because I do think it's pretty significant when you start thinking about worst-case scenario. And that's not a fun conversation to have because we'd like to think that the NBA is going to take every precaution.
Right, but it's fair. It's actually a good point by you. Yeah.
But when you start thinking about, okay, what happens if someone goes down? Where are they thin? And you're – you know, most productive player, your second best player on the team, Anthony Davis, has made it clear that he doesn't want to spend the lion's share of his minutes at the center position. You got to have capable bodies there, and a pre-existing condition. Let's get back to what JaVale McGee's entering the bubble in with asthma, and you know how pneumonia affected his body last year, where he missed a significant portion of the season. You know, I don't even like talking about the scenarios by mentioning players' names just to put bad juju out into the universe. But, you know, when I start to think how this roster could be effective, I you know, basically their championship window opens and closes with LeBron and AD being healthy. But beyond that, you know, they, I think, are really stacked at the wing position. I think they can withstand the Avery Bradley loss, as strong as he was for their team this season. But I think at the center position, when you start to say, okay, if we don't have Dwight, then we're either signing a replacement player, and the best center on the market is probably Ken Fareed, or we're relying on stretch fives like Kyle Kuzma, who hasn't looked totally proficient in that position, or Morris, who I like Markieff Morris at that position, but still he doesn't give you the size and the physicality, say you're in a series against the Clippers and Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah.
I think Dwight Howard's a big assurance for this team to be part of the team down in Orlando.
So Dave McMenamin is with us, ESPN beat reporter, covers the Lakers for us. So right now in the ESPN power rankings, it goes Milwaukee 1, Clippers 2, Lakers 3. Why are the Lakers third in that?
The literal reason is, and I'm a good team employee here, but the voting system that we use, it doesn't have all of the people that vote on it. I'm one of the people amongst our ESPN reporters. And
so you were one of the voters.
Right, but it doesn't ask us, please submit us your power rankings 1 through 30. The system that we use, it just shows you a bunch of combinations. And it's like Toronto Raptors or Denver Nuggets. You have to pick that, which team you think is stronger.
Huh.
Lakers or Orlando Magic. Pick which team is stronger.
Interesting.
And they just collect all of that data. And I stay in this portal for 20 or 30 minutes. Just click, 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 click. And so at no point do I tell the ESPN bosses to put this together. I think, you know, this is how it looks 1 through 30. And so sometimes, and this is how we did the all-time NBA player rank this summer that I thought got some things kind of wrong, you know, where Isaiah Thomas was ranked, for instance, ranking Tim Duncan ahead of Kobe Bryant. Like, those are things that I think had we taken the stance that I would have taken, it probably would have been corrected, but also this way is about an efficient use of time.
Interesting.
All right, we're talking to Dave McMenamin. Dave, did you see this picture? I guess it was a video of Rajon Rondo on Spectrum, or maybe you've seen him in the time that you've been allowed to go out there. Have you seen what Rondo looks like in the past few days?
I believe I saw some pictures from the Lakers that they've distributed to the media of his first practice back in the facility. He's got some hair growing.
Well, and not only hair, no, he is ripped. I mean, he looks like, I'll send you this one picture so you can see what I'm talking about. He looks like he has been in a gym through all of the pandemic, like auditioning for a bodybuilder contest. It's insane. And I'm wondering, you know, Rondo, there's such a thing, Dave, as you know, because you've covered the league, there is such a thing as playoff Rondo. And it is, he looks in better shape than I have ever seen him in his whole career. And I'm wondering, is he, like, we're all talking about how Caruso's going to get some of those Avery Bradley minutes. We're talking about how KCP is probably going to get the majority of them because he's the guy that filled in for Bradley when Bradley missed games during the season. How much of a factor, in your opinion, will Rondo be in that mix?
Listen, I've covered the league for a while. I'm fully aware of the playoff Rondo phenomenon. I'm someone who has gotten, you know, into barroom and press room debates with other people covering the Lakers as someone who I believe in Rajon Rondo. And if we want to keep going with this hype machine, I had a source tell me that within the last week, seeing Rajon Rondo, quote unquote, he looks like he's 21 years old again. So there is some positive momentum to this conversation. I will say, though, that the total body work that I've seen these last two seasons, his outside shot's unreliable, and he sometimes goes for the home run pass when the easier pass would have been the better option.
And he's also not very good defensively.
Yeah, I mean, he picks his spots defensively. He's you know, that's kind of, he goes for the home run steal in the passing game sometimes too. There's kind of a kinship on the way he plays both ends there, and it doesn't always pay off. But listen, I like the idea of having one of the smartest basketball brains in the league on your side when it comes down to a playoff series and trying to pick apart a team's tendency over a seven-game series. I like that. Obviously, I like what we've seen just from the eye test of the way he's taking care of his body over this period. And, you know, he's someone, having been in the league this long, he knows that opportunities like this don't come around that often. He won his first and only championship in 2008. He was, what, a second or third year player for the Celtics? He probably thought he'd have a handful of rings by now. Well, here we are a dozen years later, and he's still stuck on that one ring with the Celtics. I'm sure he's chomping at the bit for the chance to win another one now as a veteran. And so I'm happy that they have him as part of the mix. I don't think you'll see him all of a sudden get a surge in his role. I think he is what he is. He's going to be a 15 to 20 minute guy unless there are, you know, sort of injuries or anything else that happens down in Orlando. But I'm happy he's part of the mix.
Dave McMenamin, ESPN, Lakers beat writer, is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So what's it like covering the team right now? Are you actually going over to the facility? Are you allowed into the facility? Is everybody wearing masks? How are you doing this?
There's no facility access right now. We are just, you know, doing everything through Zoom, and you know, the players are still not all there at the same time. It's just been individual workouts this week. Actually, they had their last day of individual workouts in El Segundo today. They're giving the team off tomorrow, and then they all board the plane Thursday to get down to Orlando.
Wow.
That's going to be followed by like a 48-hour quarantine for the players because they need to test negative tests in a row, right, before they can begin practice. And early next week, we're down to practice. And then, you know, not too long after that, I will be boarding playing myself and packing up my bags so I can be down in Orlando to cover them.
So you're our in the bubble.
Except, Dave, what did that? Yeah,
I am. Yeah, I am not in the bubble. I'm bubble adjacent to begin. so I will be in the arena for the games. So I'll be able to have my eyes and ears and hopefully pick up stuff from my coverage that you wouldn't see on the television broadcast. I'll still be participating in Zoom interviews and things like that. As the playoffs go on, the plan, and I hope, you know, the bubble stays intact, and I hope the plan stays intact, then I would become one of the reporters that is actually inside the bubble sometime around the second round.
Well, I hope so. I mean, assuming everybody stays healthy, I think that would be, it'd be great to get you in there. Do you have any trepidation going down there, Dave? Is it something that you're kind of embracing? Or I'm curious where your head's at. I've been watching these interviews with Malika Andrews, who I know you know, and it's been really interesting. She's talked about how it's incredibly restrictive, at least for now. She's getting like meals every 3 hours, and they knock on her door everywhere she goes. She's wearing a mask. She's doing her live shots with masks. Where's your head at personally about taking the trip down there and you know, taking like the next step in your career as to go do this?
Yeah, John, I'm thrilled for the opportunity, and I am. You've known me well enough that like I literally like live and breathe basketball.
Right.
The thing that. You know, I centered my day around today was watching the basketball tournament on ESPN. So to be able to be watching live games again is awesome. But the way I like to live my life is like, you know, I'm accustomed to being a beat writer. Like I'm traveling all the time. I'm going to meet people at bars and at restaurants and, you know, going to play pickup hoops and, you know, going on hikes and like to take away all those activities and just have the basketball. I am curious just to see like how my attention level, you know, stays focused on that, because I like to, you know, kind of have variety of the spice of life. But
right. But
certainly, I am excited about the opportunity, and I just hope that, you know, one, no one gets, you know, seriously sick down there, and two, that we see a finish. And honestly, I don't care what team it is that finishes it. I think if there is a finale to the season, there will be a legitimacy to this attempt that they're doing. And even if, you know, the finale, the team that wins is, you know, they're the one team that didn't have their star player get sick.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's, that's the luck of the draw, flip of the coin. But I do think that that makes this experience worth it, of course, as long as no one gets seriously sick.
All right. Well, listen, Dave, glad to hear it. When do you leave?
I leave on the 18th, so we're just about 10 days away.
Nice, nice. All right, man. Well, listen, we appreciate you coming on. Congratulations on being Bubble ADJ. That's fantastic. You're going to be right there next to the middle of it. Next to the middle of it.
Yes, that's right.
All right, stay safe,
I'll be
Dave.
Watching in the shadow. What's it, in the shadows? I'll be watching that.
What we do in the shadows. Yeah, it's a good show to take with you.
You'll have plenty of time, Dave, unfortunately. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. All right, thanks, man. Stay safe.
All right, guys. All right,
there's Dave McMenamin. Yeah, have you seen these pictures of Rondo?
No.
Okay, ESPN LA's Twitter account just sent out two of them.
Okay.
He is as cut as I've ever seen him. I mean, he looks like he has gone up in like two weight classes.
Yeah.
He's just
and
you know, hopefully that translates into something.
Yeah, a bunch of these guys. I mean, you know, apparently Nikola Jokic has lost like 40 pounds.
Yeah, did you see what he did today, though?
No.
Missed the plane to Orlando.
No!
He tested negative for corona and then missed the plane.
Oh, what a screw-up.
How do you miss the plane?
What a screw-up. all right, I'm really fascinated on this subject. We know the Washington Redskins are changing their name.
Let's take some calls on this. You want to?
Yeah, absolutely.
And here's one thing I'm curious about. If the Redskins change, do you think the Indians need to change? Do the Kansas City Chiefs need to change? Do the Atlanta Braves need to change? Or is it just Redskins that needs to go?
Yeah, let's get to that next. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. So you know what the heavily favored choice is for new nickname for the Washington Redskins?
It's Red Tails, right?
It's Red Tails in honor of the Tuskegee Airmen, group of African-American military pilots who fought during World War II, which is a great nickname and kind of flips everything on its head, right? You're honoring this great Tuskegee Airmen, the fighter pilots, the all-black fighter pilot crew, would be a real turn for the Washington Redskins. Second choice, the Generals, then the Presidents, then the Lincolns, then the Veterans, and then the Capitals. Those are the choices.
Right, and you strongly agree that they should change Redskins, right?
Oh, change Redskins, absolutely.
Okay. So do you think they should change Indians?
This is the one I don't know about. This is the one that my 78-year-old mom said, I don't know, it's out of control, they're going too far. Is there great pressure on the Indians to change their nickname?
Sounds like it. Sounds like Terry Francona is the one that's admitting they should change it, that enough people are mad about it.
And then what do you do with Chiefs and what do you do with Braves?
Right. And then if you want to take it down to colleges, what do you do with Aztecs? What do you do with Seminoles? So it opens up a can of worms that's hard. Here's Josh from L.A. He's originally from Kansas City and wants to talk about changing the Chiefs' name. Hey, Josh, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Sure. Thanks, Josh.
Congratulations. You're the Super Bowl champion, Josh.
You know, one of the coolest things, even living all the way out here in L.A., was watching all my friends from back home just absolutely lose it when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Like, Patrick Mahomes is a superhero to an entire generation of Kansas City kids, and
that's
I think that's incredibly cool.
All right, so what are you going to do if all of a sudden they change, it looks like they're going to change the Redskins' name. If Terry Francona's right, they're going to change the Indians' name. What happens if they come for your Chiefs? What would you say?
So it's interesting because I think in your lead up to the call, you kind of landed on or navigated around why I think they really won't. You brought up the Red Tails and some of the other alternatives for the Redskins, the Veterans,
yes,
the Generals. These are all honorifics, sort of like Royals or the old Negro Leagues, the Monarchs, or, you know, the team that was stolen, the Kings. Kansas City, that's always been the convention. And unlike Redskins or Indians, that's, you know, a chief is something that a Native American tribe leader would have referred to themselves as. a brave is something that a Native American would have referred to themselves
as. Interesting. Yeah, that you know, you would have to ask people of Indian heritage if they would be offended by
it. Yeah, I guess it's a question of, is it an honor? You used the term honorific.
Yeah.
Which is a great word.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I think we see that a lot, right? That's what we get a lot of the franchises in the NBA. We have the Wizards, you know, like I mentioned, the Kings. We tend to name our sports franchises after battle leaders or governmental leaders or honored figures. And in those cases, I think that keeping a name like the Chiefs is honoring the, you know, strong Native American heritage that still exists in a lot of Kansas. Like, I grew up in a tiny little town called Paola, with streets like Weehaw and Piankasha. And so that culture is still very present in a lot of the minds of the people around there.
Yeah. So Chiefs, because you're technically honoring Native American people. Braves, because you're honoring Native American people.
But that's what, you know, Mace, that's what the Redskins' argument has always been.
But no, Redskin is a pejorative.
That's a pejorative term.
Native American communities by white settlers. Similarly to Indians, you know, and you mentioned, you know, that your mom's 78. That's the one she has a problem with. And I imagine that if I asked my mom about it, because I don't talk to my mom about politics, try not to, she would say the same thing because she's of a similar age range. But you have to remember, like, that generation was raised on cowboys versus Indians. Indians were the dehumanized savages who, you know, were making life hard for the settlers and had to be dealt with. So that's
It's funny. I talked to my mom about this, and she said when she was a little kid, they used to go to parades and stuff, and there were always Native Americans at the parades, you know, with their headdresses and all that stuff. And my mom was terrified of them. And she said she was terrified of the movies where it was the cowboys and the Indians. And all I could think was, yeah, didn't you notice that the cowboys won every single time in those movies?
The cowboys don't win in those movies is when you're supposed to be terrified of the Indian or the Native American tribe later.
Right.
You know, like I remember in the old John Wayne movie, McClintock, he tells his daughter about how he and Maureen O'Hara in their youth had survived the Apache raids because we were supposed to be, you know, terrified for young them as a way of identifying with how hard they had struggled.
Yes.
Because that was the story we told ourselves. But now the Chiefs, even in those, the Chiefs are honored figures. The Chiefs are usually the ones that you see holding out, maintaining their dignity until the very end.
Yeah, that's a really good call, Josh.
Yeah, and, really good call, man.
And thank you for taking the time to call in.
Hey, you guys, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Love the show. You guys kick ass.
All right,
cool,
thanks,
man. Thanks.
Here's Al from Huntington Beach. Hey, Al, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hello, guys. It's good to be here. I think calling the Washington football team the Redskins is like calling the L.A. football team the Beaners.
Equivalent level of pejorative term.
Yeah, but yeah. Al, we all agree on the Redskins. What do you think of the Indians?
I think calling somebody the Indians or the Braves or the Chiefs is an honor. I think these are teams that you respect, and if you're going to use their names to represent your team, it's an honor. But I don't know where the hell they ever got Redskins and thought that was an honor.
That is definitely not an honor. It is a slang term. It's a pejorative term.
Mace, you hit on it earlier, Mason, when you said it has the word skin in the title. Like you're referencing the color of someone's skin.
Yes.
I think that's why it drives so many people crazy. Like what we would, if it like literally change the name of it. If we would have called them the Washington Blackskins, the name would have been changed years ago.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, but it's...
The Washington Trumps were fine.
The Washington Trumps, yeah. Yeah, thank you very much for the phone call. Yeah, I'd have to hear from a Native American. Is Indians a pejorative... It's not a pejorative term.
I'm texting with Adrian Garcia, you know, the former Spanish language. He says Indians got to go.
Really?
Yeah. And he was in favor of getting rid of Redskins. So
why does he think Indians need to go? Have him call us.
Okay. Let me tell him to call.
Yeah, I want to hear his. I want to hear his take on it. All right, so we'll hear from Adrian. Plus, Radio Tinder's coming up. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So I understand why Redskins would be changed from the Washington franchise.
Right.
But Indians.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I got a text from my friend Patrick, and here's his take on it. He says, white people shouldn't get to decide about using peoples of other races as team mascots. Calling Native Americans Indians is completely misnamed because Columbus, in addition to being a horrific murderer, was such a screw-up as a navigator, he thought he was in the West Indies.
That's true. Using
Chiefs, Braves, Warriors, also complete white people BS. No offense to Steve's mom, but old white lady shouldn't get to decide this either. So that's one opinion. And now
this is definitely not my mom's call. Yeah. She doesn't get to say.
And our friend Adrian Garcia Marquez, who was Adrian Mace once filled in for you way back in the day.
Wow.
Adrian has been a network announcer for many years, worked with me at the Lakers for many years. That's when Adrian and I got to be really good friends, is when we traveled together with the Lakers. Adrian, ¿cómo estás? How are you, my friend?
Bien, mi Johnny bien. And Mace, good to hear from you guys, man. And, you know, that obviously the ride home today, we had to refry an old World Series game there in the building where I'm working now. And on my drive home, I always talk to you guys on, listen on the drive, and I always get obviously locked in on your topics. And today was obviously a really good one. And back to that whole Indians, I think your friend Patrick actually stole my thunder, man. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's because it's not up to us. It wasn't up to – you have to ask, you know, for example, Native Americans, and you guys hit it on the head. And that's what I was going to tell you. Christopher Columbus, I mean, the name, it's because the guy was a major screw-up. And we say in Espanol, en todo la cago, he messed up everything. So at the end of the day, even that, and at the end of the day, it's still haunting people. So gotta, I don't know. You got to get rid of it. And I think I know Carlos Alvarez, who we came with earlier, we were having this discussion. I told him, I like Cleveland Spiders. Tradition, they started off with that name back in the late 1800s. But, you know, some people have a phobia for spiders. I don't know if that's even going to be.
Yeah, see, I don't like Cleveland Spiders. Spiders, I mean, they're people hate spiders.
The guys I was golfing with today came up with a great one. They said you could call them the Ohio Players in tribute to that great band from the 70s and 80s. But Adrian, what do you think about Chiefs and Braves? Would you keep them or get?
You know, the caller was on it, Johnny. The caller was right on it. It honors, you know, Native Americans. You want to aspire to become a Chief someday because that means you have leadership abilities, and when you're a young brave, it's because you're a brave young warrior. The word says it all. You're fearless. Obviously, like I told you when I was texting you real quick, I said that's why I love the name Aztecs. As a Mexican, you know, it's a source of pride for us, Aztec and Maya, for everything that they were building and accomplishing, from the astronomy aspect to the invention of zero. You name it, there are a lot of things. And so you're honoring a part of a nation. In other words, our roots as Mexicans. But I will get offended if you name the team the San Diego State Mexicans. That's not going to fly.
Right. Yeah, it's a really good point. Adrian, thank you for connecting with us, man. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, guys, talk to you, man.
All right. Stay safe. All right, so you want to do Radio Tinder?
Yeah, let's do Radio Tinder.
All right, Funch.
All right, swipe left, swipe right. It is time for Radio Tinder. In for Lindsay today is Michael Funches. Funch, what do you got?
All right, guys. Liquor store owner beats Adam Schefter at his own game. Swipe left or right?
Oh, swipe right.
I'm swipe right, too.
Okay. Katie Camlin, owner of the Plaza Liquor Store in Kansas City, came out with a tweet that said, a front office employee for the Chiefs came in and bought 6 bottles of Dom Perignon. He said that there was a big signing today. He did not say it was Chris Jones, so my guess it's a Mahomes deal. So hours later, Adam Schefter was the first NFL reporter to tweet out the record-breaking deal for Patrick Mahomes. Then Katie tweeted out, holy blank, I beat Schefter. So who should get credit for breaking the Patrick Mahomes news, Katie or Schefter?
By the way, Katie, 100% Katie, and yep. Mace, I'm shocked in this world of social media that this doesn't happen more often. Think about any big trade, signing, whatever.
Sure.
Think about the number of people that
people who sit at restaurants and sign a deal, people who overhear phone conversations. I mean,
drivers.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, drivers. It happens all the time.
Or somebody in an agent's office that's working as an intern. How this stuff doesn't leak more often is shocking to me. And good for Katie. She had her 10 minutes of... They say everyone's famous for 15 minutes. This is her 15 minutes of fame.
Yes. Yeah. All right, Funch.
All right, Kylie Jenner is finally not number one on a list. Swipe left or right?
Well, Mason, you know I'm in on anything Kylie,
yeah,
so
go,
I'll let you call.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, the 2020 Instagram Rich List, which determines how much celebrities could make in one single sponsored post, is out. And Kylie Jenner has been number one on the list for the past 2 years, but there is a new number one. Can you guys guess?
New number one.
Just one
social
guess.
Social media influencer.
Okay.
Kylie.
Funch, is it in? Just one question for clarification. Is it someone in Kylie's family?
No.
Okay.
Interesting.
I'm gonna take my shot. I'll say Katy Perry.
I'll say Taylor Swift.
Ah. Taylor Swift is actually on the list, but number one is Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Wow.
Who can make over $1 million from one single ad on his
Instagram. That is incredible. He could make $1 million a day just by putting out one ad.
Now, other people on the list, Kylie Jenner, followed by Cristiano Ronaldo, then Kim Kardashian, Ariana Grande, Selena Gomez, Beyonce, Justin Bieber, all their usuals,
all right,
basically.
I'm going to try something here just as an experiment in honor of this question. All right. So, Mace, I have 125,000
Twitter followers.
Twitter followers, okay?
Yes.
I'm going to send out a tweet, and I want you to read it, okay?
Okay.
I should include a link here, but I'll just do it now to save time. It's going to be one sentence. I'm going to send it out now. Okay. I'll give it a second for it to post. You tell me when you see it. You follow me on your feed, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you see my most recent tweet?
Yes. You should listen to the Venice Mace podcast.
That's it. Let's see if it does any good. Let's see if your numbers receive any, like, if any of my 125,000 followers actually download your podcast.
John, how much are you going to charge Mace for that post?
Zero. I just want to see if I have any power.
See if you're an influencer.
Yeah. So far, Mace, in less than 10 seconds, 3 likes.
Yeah, you didn't tell them how to get the podcast. You didn't tell them anything.
4 likes. It's already up.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
All right, people doing stupid things for lots of money. Swipe left or right?
Stupid things
for
lots
of money?
Money.
Yeah, sure. I'll,
yeah, why
I'll
not?
Buy it.
All right. YouTuber Jimmy Donaldson, who's better known as Mr. Beast, announced on YouTube that he will pay one person $25,000 to see how long that person can go without taking their finger off the screen of their phone. Now, one people threw in their hat into the ring in search of his $25,000, but one person, or there's only 4 people that actually survived it. Now, after 70 hours, 4 people still refused to yield to this contest, this stupid contest, yep, that the Beast had. And instead of just giving him the full amount of money, Donaldson opted to just give him all just $20,000 instead of the $25,000.
Okay. How many people were left standing?
4 people.
4
people. Were holding their finger on their phone,
yep,
for 70 hours.
Okay. 70?
70 hours for $20,000. Now, guys, you think you can do this?
Yeah, I don't think it's that hard.
You got to stay awake for 70
you
hours.
You got to stay awake for 70 hours.
You have to stay awake?
Yeah.
Well, if you fall asleep, you'll probably pull your finger off your phone.
I mean, unless you, like, tape that finger to your phone or something.
Oh, can I do that? Can I?
I mean,
yeah,
there is no rules on that.
No way.
There was
We did 24 hours of radio once.
Yeah. That wasn't hard, though. I stay awake for 24 hours all the time. 70 hours would be
70
hard.
Hours too long. Not doing it. No way. By the way, I know somebody that stayed awake Was it Baltimore had a really long losing streak, the Orioles, and a guy on the radio said, I won't go to sleep until the Orioles win a game. And he ended up staying awake for like 4 or 5 days. Oh. And I saw an interview with him. He said he was never the same after that.
You should, Mace, when you were gone, when you went to New York, our friend Allie McKay was our update person.
Yes.
She said, I'm going to go live on a billboard until the Clippers win a game. The Clippers started 0-11, and that's the year they ended up 0-18, and she was on the billboard for a week.
Wow.
Yeah, she was very mad at me for a long time after that.
Was that your idea or was that her idea?
It was mine.
Yeah,
but
of course
she
it
did
was.
It. She did it, and she got a lot of news coverage.
I'm sure.
And
Funch.
Go ahead, guys.
Oh, is that it, Funch? Is that the end of the
Well, I got one more if you guys want one more.
Yeah,
but
go one more.
Okay, a $4,000 gold face mask. Swipe left or right?
Oh, gold. Right. Swipe right.
Yeah, right.
Okay. An Indian businessman is going viral after paying $4,000 to have a face mask made out of 24-karat gold. It's a thin mask and has tiny pores, and that is helping me to breathe, says the owner of the mask, Shankar Kurdhan. Now, people are asking me for selfies. They're awestruck when they see me wearing this gold mask in the markets. Now, he also says he didn't do it for publicity, but said the mask probably isn't the best choice to fight the COVID disease. Now, is this $4,000 mask just too much since you can't fully get fully protection from it?
Yeah, if I'm dropping 4 G's on a mask, it better be N95 quality.
But it looks good. It looks good. I saw the mask.
I'm sure it looks good. It's nice bling and all. But my M95 mask seems to do the trip. Now, I did raid the Rams team store, the Dodgers team store, and the Lakers team store, and have face masks for all three. So I have spent money on face masks, and I'm always repping one of my teams when I'm out on the streets or out in the market. So
because I'm going to be the first one back in the building of the on-air host, because Michael and I have to go in there and do the games,
yep.
ESPN just sent me a bunch of masks.
Did they?
They sent you three masks, didn't they?
And a thermometer.
Yeah, that's what I got, too.
Do they say ESPN on them?
No, they're just good masks.
Yeah, really good masks, actually.
Yeah.
What constitutes a good mask?
It's cloth. It's sturdy.
Covers your face or whole face.
Yeah, it's large. It's good.
When do you actually – do you do a dress rehearsal, John?
I don't think so. I think I go in on the 29th. If Amanda wants me to go in there a day early, I will. But I think we go in – the first game's on the 29th.
God, but I have I to wish do I the, could go in.
I have to do the Mason and Ireland show from there that day, too, because the game's at 6.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't want to risk –
yay, finally have people in the studio to join me.
There you go.
People in the studio. Sports on the radio. It's all coming, people. It's all coming. All right, and also coming for you next is Jerry Harrison Jr., who covers the Dodgers for Sportsnet LA. He will be on with us next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.